Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, March 6, 2023. Hi, Butch. Hello, Butch.
Hey, I'm right here. I'm sorry. I had the mic turned down. How are you doing today?
Well, I was doing great until you didn't answer me, and I'm thinking, oh, no, we got a little bit of a problem here.
I turned the mic down so I wouldn't bother you while you're introducing the program, but I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful day, 70 degrees here. The sun is shining, so I'm very happy.
Well, good. Good.
Even if it is Monday.
Even if it is Monday.
That's right.
Well, what, do you want to get started then, or should we just...
Well, let's see. I guess we can sing a tune, but I don't know. But you break your star.
Okay. Gold today down $9 at $1,847. Silver was down 23 cents at $21.12. Platinum was down $2 at $987, with palladium down 18 at $1,494. The USDX was also down today, down 0.21 at $104.32. Crude oil was up 92 cents at 80.60. Paper markets, they didn't do much at all. The Dow was up 40 points. The S&P was up 2.79 points. And the NASDAQ was down 13. So not a whole lot of movement there for a Monday. The European markets, FTSE was negative, but, you know, we saw the same thing for the DAX and France, so they were just up, 25 and so points. Asian markets, Shanghai was lower. Nikkei was up a little over 1%. That's the only one. 10-year yield, it did dip below 4, 3.97 for the 10-year yield. And the natural gas is down, 13%, 2.605 for natural gas. So that was that there is pretty amazing. But we saw U.S. Factory orders that fell today as civilian aircraft demand dives. So new orders for U.S. manufactured goods fell in January, pulled down by a plunge in civilian aircraft bookings, but saw increases in machinery. And a range of other products suggested that manufacturing could be regaining its footing. Well, it depends on where that machinery is being shipped to, I suppose. The report from the Commerce Department on Monday also showed shipments of manufactured goods rebounding after two straight monthly declines. Inventories were unchanged. And, you know, just as a reminder, last week we saw the supply management survey last week showed that manufacturing, and it only accounts for 11% of the economy anymore, did contract for a fourth straight month in February. Factory orders dropped 1.6% after increasing 1.7% in December. And so that was, you know, let's see if there was anything else interesting in that report today.
You know, Mel, you said something that's very disconcerting, though. Manufacturing accounts for 11% of our economy.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that a sad thing to have to say?
Yes, it is.
Man, that just shows how, folks, this nation is so weak, we can't even begin to feed ourselves or house ourselves any longer. That is America today. But go ahead, Melody.
That's pretty much it. So let's see if there's any other, that was from that report. Let's see if there's any other interesting. Cridge hedge fund accused of Ponzi-like payments by the SEC. So another thing going crazy. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan says Ukraine war and China relations are his top concerns. So, and really, it was kind of one of those days. Not a whole lot to write home about. I guess there's a lot out there. We're going to talk a lot of interesting reports. U.S. banks finally are going to be forced to raise rates on your deposits. So they're being forced to do something that they haven't done for 15 years. That's amazing. And it really is disgusting. They have all your money, people's money, and they pay out a 0.001%. And with a fractional reserve banking, they can loan out, 9-10 times or probably even more than, I mean, and they pay you a paltry 0.001. And then people want to know, gee, what's wrong with our monetary system? Who's running Wall Street and how do they keep it going? And why doesn't gold go higher and all this? You know, why is the stock market still as high as it, you know, as it is? And by all rights, it should be much, much lower. Because they're using your money to do it. That's why they're only paying you a 0.001 or whatever it might be. So it's good that they're seeing it forced. But how much higher are they going to pay? I guess an 11th month, Wells Fargo 11-month CD pays 4%. You know, so I don't know. I would never hold my funds in a bank for that long of time. Probably, I mean, if you have money and you need a CD or something like that, do a 1 month and stagger it so you can always have access to your funds in a relatively short period of time. But that's just my opinion. So
you have to force someone to do something. How do you turn your back on them? No, they'll continue it too.
I know. Well, that's why I said, if you do that, if you have funds in a savings account, you want to earn that 4%, you know, just do it in a 1 month term. You know, that way you do get to renew it every month and, you know, something happens and, you know, that's your risk that you take. So everything has a risk. There's no safe havens anywhere. So, Butch.
Well, I'm going to start a movement, Mel. I want you to join me. My dad was half Indian. I don't know whether it's Cherokee or Mingo, but one or the other. He was half Indian. And I think that we deserve reparations the way they treat these people. They ran off their land, stole their land, and did all kinds of things to them. So I'm going to go ahead and start a movement for reparations for anyone who has ancestors who were born in this country, as we call Native Americans, if you will. So, I don't know why not, but California reparations are now up to $360,000. And the state was never a slave state. So I think I got a good shot at this. California was entered the Union in 1850 as a free state. It's now considering reparations of up to $360,000 per eligible recipient, more than 50% more than the amount floated as the highest possible last year.
Well, why doesn't everybody move to San Francisco and they can get $5 million?
That's a point. Mm-hmm. That's a point. In December, as Breitbart News reported, a state committee concerning reparations heard recommendation that eligible recipients, those descended from former black slaves, could qualify for $233,000. Now, however, that amount has ballooned to $360,000 per recipient, according to Bloomberg News. Perhaps under pressure from local efforts in cities like San Francisco, which is concerning $5 million per black resident. Now, again, okay, they had some black slaves in this country. I certainly wasn't a slaveholder. My grandpa and my dad wasn't either. But went back many generations, and none of them were slaveholders. But nonetheless, the blacks now are pretty much free to run the country and be involved. And that's. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be, but they put the Native Americans on reservations, starved them to death, still drugging them to death with government drugs and booze. They're still being punished. If anyone deserves reparations, I think it's them. So, therefore, I think I'm willing to start a movement, and I'm going to try to get anywhere between, say, $2 to $5 million reparations for what they did to my ancestors. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
So, there you go, folks. Anybody want to join me on the Native American reparations bill? Let's get it done. This has all been facetious. I realize that. But it's not nearly as ridiculous as giving to the blacks. The Native Americans are still sitting on reservations and been restricted for 200 years, 150 years. Don't act like this is some kind of holy thing they're doing for the blacks. I mean, that's hypocrisy to the nth degree in my mind. Total hypocrisy. But anyway, don't get me started because it make me mad and I'll start getting into it and I don't want to do that. You want to add anything?
No. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
It is.
You know, so, I mean, it's somebody will get something somewhere because they're not going to let it go. They're just not going to let it go. And it's ridiculous. But, yeah, those Native Americans, you know, and then they started getting all the food, you know, the government didn't really pay any attention to what they were feeding them and, you know, just sent them crap food. You know, and then it used to be, I don't know anymore, but I know when I lived in Arizona, the Pima Indians had some of the highest diabetic rates in the country. A lot of you Native Americans do. And it's because of how the government started feeding them. They started feeding them all this crap stuff, you know, because they couldn't grow anymore, couldn't farm. Not in some of those reservations that were given to them, so...
So I think if anyone deserves the money, it'd be them. That's just my opinion.
And I think I deserve it just because.
Just because who you are. I understand that. I do.
And you and all our listeners.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll change topics. Go to something else here that is starting to be seen. And this, and you can watch this on video, by the way. A mile-long line for free food offers a warning as COVID benefits end. This is out of Hazel Green, Kentucky, not too far from where I live. As he claimed the first spot in a mile-long line for free food in the Appalachian foothills, Danny Blair vividly recalled receiving the letter announcing that his pandemic-era benefit to help buy groceries was about to be slashed. Kentucky lawmakers have voted in the state's health emergency last spring. By default, cutting food stamp benefits created to help vulnerable Americans like Blair weather the worst of the COVID-19. Instead of $200 a month, he would get just $30. He crumpled up the letter and threw it on the floor of his camper. I thought, wow, the government is trying to kill us now, said Blair, 63, who survived Social Security disability check and lives in a mobile home with his wife after their house burned down 5 years ago. They're going to starve us out. And, folks, I don't say that far right now. But when you see all the destruction of food supplies worldwide, especially here in America, of resources to manufacture and produce food, I think you're right. They're going to try to starve us out. Henry Kissinger supposedly said those who control the food control the people. I don't know if he said that or not. But somebody said it, obviously, and they're right. Blair and his wife hop into the truck twice a month at 4 a.m. to ensure they get a few staples at the Hazel Green Food Project's giveaway. On a recent Friday, they waited 9 hours until local prisoners on work duty started loading bags of meat and vegetables, potato chips and cookies into vehicles in one of the nation's most impoverished communities. From the front to the back of the line, the sea of despair and hardship along this distant Kentucky highway foreshadowed what may be in store for millions of Americans as the federal government ended the remaining pandemic increase in monthly food stamp benefits this week. I don't want to say to that. I don't like welfare. I think after a while it destroys people. It doesn't help them. It destroys them. Obviously, that's true. But these people are 63 years old, living in a trailer actually a camper because his house burned down. So and then they need the food obviously too. So and with all the food facilities disappearing in this country, burned or planes landing on them or flooded out, whatever it may be, food shortages are going to be real for all of us, my friends. You mark, take it to the bank. Maybe you'll have the money to buy it, but if it isn't there, you can't buy it. Now that's a fact. Lindsay Williams, on my broadcast many years ago, Lindsay passed away a couple months ago, by the way, but told me, said, there's coming a time, Pastor, when you'll have the money but no food to buy. That is serious, Melody, is it not?
It really is. And, you know, we keep seeing all these troubled areas and so forth as far as, and look where it all comes from.
Yes.
That's the problem. You know, so much of our food is imported, our medicines. I mean, they got us wrapped around their little fingers.
Well, at least 80% of the medicine is sent over from China. At least 80% of it. Who knows where this stuff comes from?
Did you hear that there's a shortage on albuterol?
No, but doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all.
For folks who have asthma, breathing problems...
There's one crisis after the other. Every day there's a new crisis. You've seen that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever, I know you've probably never boxed too much in your life, except when you were married to your husband, maybe. But no, so I don't think you've been, but I used to do a little bit many, many, many years ago. And one of the main tactics of the jab, we all know what a jab is to get your opponent off balance and keep him kind of busy, block the jab and backing up. Do you get a chance to put a haymaker on him? Well, we're being jabbed every day. A crisis here, a crisis there, a crisis here, there, whatever. They're getting us off balance for their knockout. And it's coming. I don't know how or when. But to bring that point more to a reality, U.S. Treasury introduces CBDC Working Group, discusses potential routes for digital dollar. That's going to be one of the knockout punches if they get this done, folks. The Treasury statements explore the potential forms and implementations of an American CBDC. The U.S. Department of Treasury has released comments from Undersecretary for Domestic Finance Nellie Lang on the next steps to the future of money and payments, addressing CBDCs and the approach the American government is taking to the potential implementation. The original Treasury report released in September 2022 described the formation of the CBDC working group that would advance work on the CBDC. Lang's remarks confirmed the formation of this group. One of the central tasks for the CBDC working group is to complement the Fed's work by considering implications of U.S. CBDC for policy objectives, for which a broader administration perspective is helpful, Lang said. So this is going to be one of the knockout punches, folks. They're setting us up for a lot of things. When people get scared enough, you get off balance enough, you know what to do next. You'll follow the rules because you want to be able to eat. You won't be able to maintain your lifestyle, your heated house even, and maybe air conditioning even, and who knows. So there you go. I mean, that's just one of the, I'll call, knockout punches. That's only the beginning. Comments not, Melody?
Well, I'm not. I think the importance of that is... maybe not even so much, because it still has to be accepted by the people. You know, you're still going to have some sort of catastrophic
But keep in mind, so did COVID.
Yeah. Right.
And a majority accepted it.
Right.
Out of fear.
But there had to, Right. So there has to be a catastrophic event in order for
there you
people
go.
To accept it.
That's why I said. Yep,
but I think the importance, of that article is not so much what they're investigating, but the fact that they're just investigating it goes to show me that they are interested in changing and needing to change the monetary policy, regardless of what the outcome eventually comes.
Absolutely.
But what is coming right now is our break, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly and blog, our weekly newsletter and our blog. So, what's next, Butch?
Okay. Let's go to a different topic, another one of those jabs. All Walmart stores in Portland, Oregon permanently close. Go woke, go broke. The city of Portland will no longer have any more Walmart stores. At the end of March, all Walmart stores within Portland city limits will officially close. In a statement, Walmart revealed the decision to close these stores was made after a careful review of their overall performance. We consider many factors, including current and projected financial performance, location, population, and customer needs. Portland has been the center of Antifa and BLM terrorism over the last several years. So that wasn't specifically stated as one of the reasons, but when people are afraid to shop or whatever, this business goes down, and when thievery picks up, that's which it has everywhere, probably worse than Portland, stores are going to shut their doors. And when Walmart shut their doors, that's getting serious, because Walmart's come in many years ago, what, back in the 80s, Melody, and took over whole communities with their stores. And is that when it was, about the 80s?
Oh, late 80s, 90s, and then they moved them into the superstores. That's what killed everybody, the superstores.
Well, downtown Somerville, West Virginia, where I've lived near for many, many years, used to be a booming downtown. And so was another little town called Richwood. But Somerville with a county seat. It had all kinds of stores on Main Street. They're all closed. Now, they still have things in there like tourism attractions, whatever, but all the stores that were downtown are closed. When Walmart came in, they started moving out. They started building shopping malls around Walmart in different places, and the stores started moving over there. So, folks, yeah, this is a biggie. All Walmart stores in Portland permanently closed. Communities block and ban dollar stores amid nationwide invasion. Recall Dollar General, Dollar Tree, and Family Dollar stores are invading low-income communities nationwide. At the start of 2022, all three discount retailers operated 34,000 U.S. stores, more than McDonald's, Starbucks, Target, and Walmart combined. Now there's a wave of grassroots opposition in cities and towns blocking these chains from opening new stores. According to a new report published by the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, a nonprofit organization and advocacy group focused on sustainable local economies, at least 75 communities blocked proposed dollar stores, with more than 50 of those denials occurring between January 2021 and the end of 2022. At least 54 cities and towns, including Birmingham, Alabama, Fort Worth, Texas, Kansas City, Kansas, and Plainview, Nebraska, have gone further. They've enacted laws that sharply restrict new dollar stores, typically by barring them from opening within 1 or 2 miles of an existing dollar store. At least one town, Stonecrest, Georgia, has imposed a total ban on new dollar stores. These laws are often adopted in conjunction with measures designed to support the retention and development of grocery stores. These discount retailers are rapidly expanding their presence across the country, targeting low-income communities with cheap Chinese-made products and unhealthy food. Well, wow, what's new about that? But I won't make a statement either way what's good or bad on dollar stores, Melody, but I do know that in some communities, including ours, a little town here in Nettie, West Virginia, and a town where my brother lives in Valley Head, West Virginia, we're thrilled to pieces to have a Family Dollar or a dollar store come in. Because of the grocery stores and other stores that closed and left, there was nothing left. You couldn't even buy a loaf of bread within in the area. So everything closed and left. So they were welcomed because they brought in some things that people need every day. I'm not debating whether the products are Chinese made and the foods are unhealthy or healthy or not. You have to be wise enough to buy the food that's healthy. That's all I can say. If you don't know how to do that and you buy cheap food, that's on you. But the point of it is, these stores come in these communities where I'm talking about and did a world of good for the people. We had to drive 15 miles or so to shop for groceries. And they're not the best you have for groceries in this area, but they are something where you can get a few things, just a few staples that you need. So I'm not saying what's good or bad about them. I'm not getting into that. But I know that there's some communities that they made a big difference. Any comments, Melody?
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting that they're trying to get rid of, the dollar store. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Does it?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And again, I can't speak whether the products are good or bad for you. That's not my call anyway. You can buy junk food or junk products anywhere. It's what you decide to put in your body. Go ahead.
No, I think they're very valuable to be in a neighborhood. But so, you know, even to get rid of Walmart closed, it's just as odd that all of a sudden these things are happening. And
it is strange. And that's what I'm saying. It's another jab. Again, keep thinking about that in a boxing. I'm sure you watch boxers. And if you see the guy throwing the jab, keep watching. He's about ready to try to put a haymaker in there. This is another jab.
Now, why do you think I would be watching boxers?
I don't know if you like boxers or not. I like a good boxing match.
Do you? Nah.
Yeah. Ben Marsky's beat me up. But anyway. No, I do like a good boxing match. I do. I don't get to see many of them. I don't watch much TV or anything, but I like a good boxing match. Now, another, I guess you say it's really a crisis. L.A. elites, Los Angeles elites, spend $150,000 for protection dogs as crime fears worsen. Folks, this is a decaying society. Los Angeles wealthiest residents are purchasing protection dogs that cost as much as a slightly used Mercedes G-Wagon over concerns of out-of-control violent crime and the growing homelessness crisis. Los Angeles Times said protection dogs, typically German Shepherds, Belgian Malinois, Dobermans, King Corso, or a mix of those breeds, are being sold by Delta Canine Academy in North Hollywood for as much as $70,000. Some trainers are selling dogs for upwards of $50,000. L.A. Times spoke with Artem Bogardian, the president of an aerospace manufacturing company who lives in a multi-million-dollar home in Sherman Oaks. He owns several guns and recently had his home wired with surveillance cameras, but felt that security layer was enough. So Bogardian contacted Delta 9 Canine about a $70,000 two-and-a-half-year-old German Shepherd, bred as an elite protection dog. First, the dog is a family pet but is highly trained to guard the home. What's the price that you would put for your family security, especially when that particular house had been burglarized? $70,000, you amortize it down to 10, 15 years, whatever the dog's life is, and it's not that big of a price tag, he said. He's right. He's right, but it's a shame that you have to go that far in that direction to have to protect your family. It really is a sad situation. But that's coming everywhere. Now they're putting guard dogs with trainers in stores to stop theft. I covered that last week, I think Friday, on your program. Mm-hmm. Yes. They're bringing in guard dogs for stores. Oh, by the way, I think I mentioned this Friday. If not, I'll mention it real quick. Did you know that Ford just filed a patent for a car that will repossess itself?
I saw that. Yes, I did.
I mean, I read that. I shared this at Bible study this past weekend as far as technology goes, and I think I may share it this past Friday. Don't know if they're going to do it or not, but if you don't make your payment, the car can shut off the air conditioner, cruise control, and radio and other things just to annoy you. If you don't pay again, they start emitting some kind of weird noise that just bug you. And if you don't pay again, they'll lock you out of it until you do pay it. If you still don't pay it, the car will drive itself somewhere where it can be reposed safely.
Wow.
Now, my question is this. Well, if you do pay for it, does that mean they shut off all the computer connections? So that can never happen?
If you do pay for it,
does that mean that you can trust them that they'll never shut it off for any reason?
That they would never shut it off, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it.
It's ridiculous.
Thank you, technology, and our embracement of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Austin police officers quit in droves. Texas city hostile place for conservatives. Now, this is Austin, Texas. By the way, this didn't used to be considered at all a conservative area. But the leftist-run city of Austin, Texas, is facing a police officer shortage, with current and former officers citing hostility towards law enforcement and conservatives as a driving force. The New York mobile sources told the Post the city allegedly has more than 300 vacancies, and officers are quitting because they feel disrespected, according to the report. The Austin Police Association said 77 more officers are expected to retire before the end of March. Lieutenant Brian Moon, who retired last month after 23 years of service, said the Austin has become like Portland, Seattle, and San Francisco, where if you're at all conservative or in law enforcement, it's become a hostile place. The staffing shortage is leading to ladder response times of 911 calls are being redirected to the non-emergency number because there aren't enough cops to solve the crimes, according to the report. Senior Police Officer Justin Berry told the publication that the department has taken detectives off cases to act as patrol officers. If you come home and find your home burglarized, calls like that are now going to 311. Said Police Union President Thomas Valerio, you are not getting a police response to many property crimes if it's not a violent crime that is currently ongoing. So unless you're under attack at the moment, don't call the cops. They're not coming. And the problem is that when they did catch him with this liberal government, they turned loose almost immediately. This is not happening this is nationwide, actually. But so the cops are quitting. No respect, and you can't really do the job, and the crime rate's going up, and they can't get anybody to respond to them. Now, isn't that a spiraling effect, Melody, of a nation going down the tubes?
It really is, and you continue to see all these little cities and so forth passing these laws, making it easier and easier for these criminals to get out. The time isn't there, and it's like, it's just that they want the chaos. They want this to happen.
Well, you remember the motto, out of chaos, order, right?
Correct. Yeah, sure do.
That's the way it is. I mean, of course, on the Get Smart TV show, chaos and control. chaos, yeah. The bad guys control the good guys. Now, I knew when I watched that, it was funny. I didn't think anything about it. I just a youngin'. But control.
Yep.
Let that sink in, people. They got that in their minds in a comedy. And it's a good comedy. I enjoyed it. Control's the answer. Chaos is a result of no control. Isn't that wise? And wasn't that a cunning way to bring it around, Melody?
I mean, we've had all these signs for so very long, and it's amazing how long it takes for folks to understand. I mean, it took a minute, you know. I wake up one day and knew all of this stuff. But you have to be proactive in trying to find these things out. The clues are all there.
But you have to have the eyes to want to see the truth, and sometimes
absolutely.
The truth can be very unpleasant.
Yeah.
Democrat-run Atlanta's Cop City hit with Antifa terrorist attack. 35 people were arrested after a domestic terrorist attack on a construction site for a police training facility in Democrat-run Atlanta, Georgia. And I shared this past Friday that part of Atlanta, Georgia wants to secede from the city. The training facility is known by those who opposed it as Cop City. On Sunday night, some 150 rioters could be seen in the video posted to Facebook dressed in all black or camouflage and wearing ski masks entering the site. My question is, how did they get in the site? Did they not have guards up? Were they forced in? Did they force away in? I don't know. Just a few moments later, the fireworks start to explode near where cops are stationed. Some of the group could later be seen gathering riot shields as they motioned for the others to join them. Once they were together, they started throwing Molotov cocktails at a construction vehicle and ran away as it was left on fire. Other videos posted online show the police surveillance tower on fire, sending smoke billowing nearby. In a statement, Atlanta police said a group of violent agitators used the cover of a peaceful protest of the proposed Atlantic Public Safety Training Center to conduct a coordinated attack. The officers assigned to the site were attacked with large rocks, bricks, Molotov cocktails, and fireworks. Ultimately, no one was hurt, but the agitators destroyed multiple pieces of construction equipment by fire and vandalism. Agitators, this was full-blown, coordinated, pre-planned domestic terrorist attack. Another jab. Chaos. Gotta have control. Chaos. Bring in control. This is so easy, folks, that I can figure it out. And I barely got through high school. And I can figure this out. It's so easy to understand this when you see it. They have to bring chaos and fear to control the people so control can take over. It worked during COVID. Majority of Americans fell in line with COVID, fell in line, closed down churches, closed down their businesses, stayed home, got the jabs. It happened during COVID. Melody, any comments?
No, I saw the report on that today, and it is just... I mean, it really is incredible. Did you hear about those Americans that were kidnapped in Mexico?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
They went down, they crossed the border to get medicines. I know a lot of people that go across there because you can walk into one of their pharmacies and you can pick up all kinds of antibiotics and so forth, and you don't need a prescription for it. So I'm sure that, and they were actually from, I think, North Carolina. So.
Well, the whole world was falling into chaos. It really is.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm going to add this to this last article. I mentioned about the people being afraid enough to take the vaccines that's actually killing people. And to prove that point, I'm not making this up, to prove the point that is killing people, politicians in the state of Montana are pushing a new bill that would make it a crime for those who have been vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus to donate blood. I'm serious, folks. City contamination issues Greg Kimmich, The sponsor behind the bill, 645, wants to make it a misdemeanor. The $500 fine for vaccinated donors to contribute blood, the spike protein-laden blood, to the donation pool. HB 645 will also ban people who have had a diagnosis of long COVID, medically defined as post-acute sequelae of SARS-CoV-2 due to chronic 27. So anyway, if you've been vaxxed, you can't donate blood. If you do, you get a $500 fine. Somebody's seen what's happening here. It's getting beyond just speculation and conspiracy theories, folks. It's actually coming together. Melody, I know I'm going to break a second. Go ahead.
Yes, we are. So, yeah, it really is amazing all the things that are coming out. And, you know, you don't hear anybody on, not too many of your mainstream news programs anymore pushing for vaccinations and so forth. So they just kind of mums the word now. Mums the word. Anyway, we're going to mum us for a few minutes, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Make your stand. Take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment of Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. So, Butch, I'm just going to let you take it away.
Okay. We got a lot to talk about yet, and it's all, folks, please keep in mind when I say the jabs, keep that in mind. There's a reason for that. If then keep your minds occupied on all kinds, so many different things, and when they're talking about UFOs on TV, you better watch what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
It is nonsense. It's called a smokescreen. And it basically works.
It's called a distraction.
That's it. Yes, absolutely. Top Idaho Democrats campaign for Eastern Oregon counties to join is bad for the country. The Greater Idaho campaign to redraw the border between the Jim State and Oregon has drawn harsh criticism from the top Democrats in the Idaho state legislature. On February 15th, so folks, this is for real. They're actually debating it now, so we know it's for real. On February 15th, Idaho House of Representatives passed a resolution to initiate formal talks about absorbing red areas of eastern Oregon where some residents feel unrepresented in the Democrat-dominated state. Now, let me repeat that. On February 15th, Idaho House of Representatives passed a resolution to initiate formal talks. So this is being talked about right now. This is not something that's been made up. It's been talked about. Idaho Senate Minority Leader Melissa Withrow told Fox Digital on March 5th she hopes and expects the campaign will not actually translate to new boards between the neighboring states. I'm very pleased that this measure has virtually no chance of advancing into reality, she said. It would be bad for all involved and bad for the country, as I'm opposed to it at all levels. Similarly, on February 16th, the day after the resolution passed, the House Majority Leader Representative Elena Rubel went so far as to argue that the movement to reconsider the state shape of states borders could herald civil war. Oh, folks, this has been talked about a lot now. We should not be self-segregating by ideology like this, she said. I think we're on a path to civil war if we keep going down the path. We've got to learn to get along better and work together better. The answer cannot be to carve up the country and redraw lines that have been in place for a century or more just so we can only be surrounded by people that perfectly agree with us. She's right, and she's wrong. She's right and she's wrong. When there was a common core in this country of morality, a common moral code of doing to others, we could disagree on some points, but live together, because we didn't fear one another. Now that the country is divided into, what we're looking for, divided into camps that are not afraid to bring violence into the situation, it's going to lead to division. It's happening as we speak. When the moral code of not destroying other people's properties, messing with their lives or their livelihoods is done away with, there's no reason why there won't be a civil war. When the difference gets so sharp and so impassable, something has to give. And it will give in a civil war. It did in 1860. It's going to happen again. Don't like it, can't help it, and I'm not the one to talk about it. They are. So, you figure it out. Any comments on LD?
No, I don't.
That's just sad. But anyway, another jab, folks. Another jab. Fear, 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 fear. Punch, punch, punch. Change countries now. Unions vow total shutdown of French economy, and Macron moves to increase retirement age. Roads blocked, oil refineries disrupted, planes grounded, and trains halted. Unions are threatening to shut down France's economy this week in what they hope is their toughest riposte yet to President Emmanuel Macron's plan to raise the retirement age. The first actions are expected Monday as truckers are being urged to block major highways, arteries, and interchanges into go-slow action dubbed escargot or snail operations. Unions plan an open-ended strike with the National Rail Service starting Monday evening. The government is bracing for the biggest disruption on Tuesday when strikes are expected across multiple sectors and protests are planned in cities across France against the retirement bill. The reform, which would raise official pension age from 62 to 64 and require 43 years of work to earn a full pension, is currently under debate in Parliament. There will be a very strong impact from the strikes, Transport Minister Clément Beaune said on regional broadcaster on France 3 on Sunday. I know that for many people, it will be a real headache. Yeah, I'd say so. I would say so. Amelie, this is, again, another country, which is, we're all connected now financially or other way. Another country that's another kind of a punch in a way, even at America. Any comments on that?
No.
Japan's population is in free fall as twice as many people die as are born. I shared on Friday that China's going to pay incentives for people to have more children. And some years ago, they would say, if you have more than one, we're going to fine you. Well, their population control, as far as birth goes, worked. They're not replenishing the young people. Now Japan's in the same boat. Japan's population is in free fall. In 2022, the number of births registered in Japan plummeted to another record low last year, according to statistics released by the Ministry of Health. The latest worrying statistic in a decades-long decline that the country's authorities have failed to reverse despite their extensive efforts. The country saw just 799,728 births in 2022, the lowest number on record and the first ever dip below 800,000. About half of the number of deaths, which at more than 1.58 million, was a record high. The number of births in Japan has already halved in the past 40 years. In 1982, Japan recorded more than 1.5 million births, a number which was then more than double the number of deaths. This ratio has since reversed. And that's not been long ago, folks. That's been 40 years ago. As shown in the chart above, deaths have outpaced births in Japan for the last 15 years, a trend which is unlikely to reverse ever again, posing an existential problem for the aged leaders of the world's third largest economy. They now face a ballooning elderly population, along with a shrinking workforce to fund pensions and health care as demand from the aging population surges. Let that last statement sink in. They're facing a ballooning elderly population, along with a shrinking workforce to fund pensions and health care. So what will they do? They have to do something we would call euthanasia. Canada's trying already. If you don't feel well, let us help kill you. Even down to the children in Canada. Even the young now in Canada have been told, if you're an adult minor, you have an adult mind, you can decide to die if you want to. We'll help you. This is also happening in America. Americans, the Caucasian Americans, have not reproduced fast enough to keep up with it. Workers are coming in, perhaps, but they're illegal. It's throwing everything in chaos. So we're going to have old people here that we can't afford to take care of them. Folks, this type of welfare that we've had in this country for years, and all in Europe also, has to collapse sooner or later. It may start out somewhat as a bottom-heavy, but always end up being top-heavy and can't be sustained. That's what France in. Melody, comments?
Well, you know, we've known for a long time Japan's population has been, this is what happens, and it's happening to this country, too. Look at our birth rate. It's going down, 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 and you need those births. And this is what happens. I mean, you're right about China. They're now, wanting, they see what's happening. They need that population. Japan, they need the new population. The United States is going to need a youth population, but we haven't seen the way yet to reverse that problem.
I don't think you will, but we'll see. We have to always slaughter somewhere in this country, in our nation alone, somewhere between 75 and 100 million babies since 1973.
Yep.
So,
yep.
That kind of hurts population, does it not?
It certainly does.
Tennessee passed the nation's first law limiting drag shows. Here's the status of anti-drag bills across the U.S. This is good news. Tennessee became the first state to explicitly ban drag shows in public places on Thursday after Governor Bill Lee signed the provision of the law hours after the measure passed in the state Senate. So children be protected from obscene, sexualized entertainment, and any attempt to conflate this serious issue with lighthearted school traditions is dishonest and disrespectful to Tennessee family. Conservatives across the U.S. and far-right groups are advancing for some similar provisions that they claim will be better protect children. Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, and even good old West Virginia. In West Virginia, legislation introduced Senate Bill 253, which will criminalize engaging in adult cabaret performance that is on a public property, or if it's performed in a place where it can be viewed by a person who is a minor. Male or female impersonators who provide entertainment that appeals to the Puritan interest fall into this category. People convicted of this felony could be fined up $25,000 or 5 years in jail in the state correctional facility. Now, I don't know if it's going to get through how far it's going to go in the House and Senate this year, but by golly, some states are getting fed up with this. I think God bless them, more power to them, which, of course, leads to more division. Melly, 50 years ago, we wouldn't have had this problem because no one would consider doing anything so evil, would they?
No, they wouldn't have. But 50 years ago, we didn't have that issue.
No, we didn't.
We didn't have these issues.
So we didn't have to pass laws to ban it, did we?
No.
Gosh. No. It's something else. Doctors and scientists call on Mississippi officials to take COVID vaccines off the market. Again, folks, another punch, but this time maybe in a good counter jab, maybe in a good way. A group of physicians, vaccine-injured people, and whistleblowers speaking at the Mississippi Capitol building on Monday and Tuesday weren't asking state officials to cease all COVID-19 vaccinations and to convene a grand jury to investigate its rollout in the state. They were demanding it. They don't only want to stop. They want a grand jury brought out to investigate why they brought it in the state in the first place. Stop the shots was the refrain of those who had treated COVID-19 patients over the last 3 years and those injured by the vaccine. I repeat that. Stop the shots was the refrain of those who had treated COVID-19 patients. These are doctors, folks. On Monday and Tuesday, the medical freedom organization MS Against Mandates held the Mississippi Medical Freedom Conference in Jackson, Mississippi, which included over a dozen physicians, several whistleblowers, six physicians confirmed vaccine-injured patients, and two parents whose sons died after receiving the vaccines. McCulloch told the Epoch Times that the response of this three-and-a-half-hour roundtable, chaired by Chairman Republican State Representative Randy Boyd, was primarily to educate Mississippi officials about safety concerns regarding the vaccine. The state must pull these products off the market, McCulloch said. There can be no more administration of this COVID-19 vaccine in the state of Mississippi. God bless them. And by the way, Putin pulled all the vaccines, the COVID vaccines, out of Russia, too, said Trisham.
Yep.
What? So what do you say, folks? There you go. There is some good news. But again, praise God, we're getting a few counterpunches here. But what would they do to scare us back into the box? See, these people come too far to turn back now. Your livelihoods are at stake. And Melody's trying to offer you a way to at least help protect it somewhat. And if you don't take advantage of that, folks, all I can say is one day, maybe not in the next 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years, I don't know the timetable. But one day, you or somebody in your family that you can lift something to, they're going to wake up and find their dollar won't buy a loaf of bread. It's worthless. And they'll have something to fall back on if you help them. If you don't, then that's in your court. I can't do anything about that. You need to call her up at 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188, and ask her about something to do to protect yourself and your family. Please do that. You have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose, folks. You don't lose your money. You gain in the long run. You're not buying something that you're going to consume and just eat or burn in a gas tank. You're buying something you keep on hand that never goes to worthless. Never goes to worthless. No matter what else happens, it's worth something. It's like a can of, it's like a can of beans. It never goes to nothing. If you're hungry, it's there to eat. Only with gold and silver, something that's marketable, it's something that's there, tangible, in your hand. Melody, I know we're getting out that last minute or so, so I'll let you wrap it up.
Well, no, I appreciate that, and it's really true. You know, earlier in the program, we talked about, you know, these banks are being forced to pay 4% for, you know, CDs and so forth for an 11-month CD, and it's like, and you're right. You know, we talked about having your money in the bank. Well, it's a savings account earning 4%. That's if you can get it back out. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I do know we talked about them changing our monetary system. That's going to happen. I believe a lot's going to happen before Biden is out of office. And that's a scary thing because we can start counting down those days. And then even if nothing does happen, they're still at it. They're still changing. And your money is getting less and less valuable. And we have debt too great to be paid. It's that simple. They will default. It's just a matter of time. And whether you're here or not, but your children will be here and your grandchildren will be here. So that's who you're looking out for if you're not here. So we'll be here. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.